Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Quantity over quality. At least that's how it's going to look. Because your fan base is probably going to know less about the multiple guys you traded out of the two spot to get than they know about, let's just throw it out, Nick Bosa, because he's the name we hear the most. We know everything about Nick Bosa, right? Everything. To the point where Ron knows about his injury history, and he's worried that his brother's injury history might be a factor here. That's a lot to know about a draft prospect. Let's go to Jim in Berkeley. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening? I was just going to say something about the baseball-basketball thing.
All right, give it to me.
You know, baseball is just way too to play. It's just way too boring. You know, and I love basketball. And my son played baseball at a high level, and now he's 23, and the only thing he does is play basketball and soccer.
See, I never found baseball boring to play. When I was playing, I was fully engaged. But I understand people who are bored by watching it because it moves slowly, which is why I don't think speeding up the game is ever going to attract more fans. I think that's it's a fool's errand. I mean, if you don't like baseball, you don't like baseball. If you give me a 2-hour and 25-minute game or a 3-hour game, me, the baseball fan, the person who likes baseball, I'm going to be fine with either one. But if you don't like baseball, you're going to be more attracted to the shorter game, and I don't think it's going to make you want to go to or watch more games just because the games are shorter. What do you think of that?
Yeah, now I agree. I mean, I loved coaching baseball. It was really fun, but to watch it, I can understand. But actually, my question was about free agents, just in case, and I hate to say it, you know, in case KD leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't hear anybody talking about other free agents that might replace him, because we didn't have him, you know, before. And
right.
Like Anthony Davis.
Hey, Jim, let's pause right here. And I want to ask you a question, and then we'll get into the Anthony Davis and everything else. Do you want KD back?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask every caller that, because I think there's some fans out there that are starting to lean on, yeah, I think I'd be fine if he left. I'm done with the drama. I don't get that, but whatever.
You know, any player of his level, you're going to have drama. I mean, that's just part of it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, so what if you had LeBron, you'd have drama, right?
Yeah.
You have any James Harden, you'll have drama.
It comes with the territory. If you're a superstar, you come with drama.
Yeah. So KD is probably the least amount of drama for, you know, for the ability he has. So, no, I absolutely want to have him back. But I don't hear, you know, I hear that everybody says he's gone, you know. So what are our options? Anthony Davis, if you trade Draymond and money and whatever, or who else is out there that could fill the void that would allow Steph and Clay and the other players to continue doing what they're doing, you know?
Well, that's the thing, Jim. It's not as easy as I think some fans out there think. Okay, if KD leaves, then we can just take that money that we had earmarked for KD and apply it to somebody else. It's not that easy. In fact, it's very difficult to explain. There's a whole lot of numbers and years involved. I just want to make sure that fans know it's not just KD left. Let's take his money and give it to someone like Anthony Davis. It doesn't work that smoothly.
Right, but I mean, you got to target somebody,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and look, we know this about the Golden State Warriors ownership, right? They are going to shoot for the moon. They are always going to go for the top player available. We know that about Joe Lacob, right? He's going to try to get the best player available. And if the best player available is Anthony Davis, I think if you're a Warrior fan, you can rest assured that Joe Lacob, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, and who knows, maybe the rest of the Hampton Five that are still left are going to point all their arrows towards that player in getting the best player available. That's what the Warriors want to be known as. We are always going to be the team that best guy out there who's not a Warrior wants to be a Warrior.
Yeah, and with the new arena, I mean, they have to do that.
Yeah.
And so, I would think that Anthony Davis would be a great player to add to this team if KD left. If you somehow had Anthony Davis and were able to get Boogie back, that'd be a formidable team, almost as good as what they have now.
No doubt. Hey, thank you for the phone call, Jim. I appreciate it. Okay, so that's Jim. The Warriors fans are now 2-for-2 in wanting Boogie back, which kind of surprises me. Now, Boogie has been nothing but, well, until he got hurt, a positive influence on the Warriors. I think everyone will agree to that. If you had a negative impression of DeMarcus Cousins before he became a Warrior, I think your impression is less negative now, if not flipped 180 to positive. I didn't know a whole lot about DeMarcus Cousins because I focused so intently on the Warriors. But once he became a Warrior, I started talking to people that were more familiar with DeMarcus Cousins, and it was a mixed bag. You got some negative, you got some positive. But based on just what Michael Urban, Golden State Warriors fan and radio guy who talks about Golden State Warriors on the Warriors flagship station, it's been nothing but positive. I haven't had a reason to think negatively about DeMarcus Cousins. However, if you ask me, do I want him back next year? I'm on the fence. I'm not so sure that it's worth it. Because, as Ken Maka said, players with injury histories get injured. Achilles tendon, potentially career-threatening. He worked his way back. Good for him. But he's back how long? A couple months, max? A month? And now he's hurt again, out for the rest of the year? I don't know. I don't know if you can handle that sort of uncertainty at that position. Maybe you can. Maybe you're comfortable with it. Maybe you're thinking, we're so deep, and because we have Kevon Looney, who has become way more than we ever thought he was going to be 2 years ago. Think about it. Two training camps ago, he was fighting for his roster spot life. And look at him now. Now he is, in my opinion, the most valuable player on the Warriors in this particular series. Now, we're only 3 games into it, and we got a long way to go, but I sure am glad that Kevon Looney is on my roster more than I have ever been glad about that before. We got 3 more people to talk to on the phone lines, and that excites me to no end. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to bounce back with more Dubs talk. Also, looks like we struck a nerve with a Niners draft, and I have a feeling some people want to tell me I'm crazy for wanting to trade out of that 2 spot. I'm Michael Urban, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
And ye shall receive, especially if you ask nicely. Jeff Gold, our executive button pusher. He's also on the ones and twos, by the way. He's our musical maestro. He'll give you what you want. You just got to be polite about it.
Say what?
I have not heard until today the Walmart ad that you were just blessed with, where we had somebody rapping about Walmart and... It never ceases to amaze me. My thought is that there's a group of people sitting in a meeting room, and at some point, for certain ads to make it to air, we have to assume that that group of people all looked at each other and said, yeah, that's money. Let's go with that. People, like multiple people, approved all of this. So you can't come down our road about it. We're going to be talking with Connor Letourneau. He covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. A frequent guest of ours, a friend of the program, and we'll be getting into all things. You know, have you noticed that we're an hour and 20 minutes into this shift, and we have not yet referenced the largest lead in playoff history blown. This is the first time we've mentioned it. You got to mention it at least once, right? So we're mentioning it now, but we're not going to mention it anymore. I'm going to let other people mention it if they'd like to, but it was just one game. The Warriors learned their lesson, and when Andre Iguodala had a breakaway dunk the other night to push the Warriors' lead to 31, it was the least pumped I've ever been about the Warriors being up 31. Because when I saw it was 31, all I thought was, oh, we've blown this lead before. Now, did I think they were going to blow it again? Of course not. They are the Clippers, after all. They've got Patrick Beverley guarding Kevin Garnett. And people actually thought that Patrick Beverley was the reason Kevin Garnett was sort of held in check for the first couple of games. No. What did I say? I said Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant. Wow. Showing my age there. Kevin Garnett was held completely in check the first two games of this series. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and put it on the line right now. I bet Kevin Garnett does not score another point this entire playoff season. I win. Kevin Durant, on the other hand, is not being held in check by anybody ever but Kevin Durant. Kevin Garnett could probably hold him in check, don't you think? He'd be the only guy that could possibly. I would have loved to seen that. I wish those guys played in the same era. Because, well, Kevin Garnett obviously is not the shooter Kevin Durant was. They're about the same size. They both have kind of the same freakish mobility for their size. That would have been fun to watch. There's probably a computer simulation that we could go, no, we're not going to do that. That's the dumbest thing ever. Back when the Warriors were on their 73 win pace for the regular season, and there was all this talk about, oh, could they beat Michael's Bulls? Could they beat Magic's Lakers? Well, let's do a computer simulation. It's stupid. You cannot compare eras. You just, why even try? Stop. Let's go to Steven in Vallejo. We were talking a little bit of Niners, and we're going to get back to the Warriors, of course. Connor's going to join us, but I want to take care of the Niners stuff so it doesn't seem all disjointed. After the Niners stuff, we'll make the full pivot to the Warriors, which means we'll get Drew, we'll get Rams, everyone will be happy. But let's go now to Steven in Vallejo. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Big Perm, what's going on, brother?
What you got, man?
Hey, just real quick, a couple points before I get to my dream Niners draft scenario. Breaking news, the Clippers just signed Kevin Garnett to a 10-day.
Yes! I'm so happy about that. We're going to get to test my theory then.
real quick, I'm going to shoot my shot here and hope Matt and Higgins listening. I would love to come in and waste a four-hour show with you to fill contact. And you were talking earlier about sitting with Shooty Babbitt and having a contest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go pull Valar Margulis and take somebody out Mafia Hit style if I was able to get that opportunity.
Wow.
Now, so my dream Niner draft scenario, stick with me here just a little bit. Last year after week two, I said I could see Gruden moving on from Carr, and everybody laughed at me. So my dream scenario would be the Cardinals actually pivoting and picking up Bosa. The Niners at two trade with Gruden to fall back to four and pick up his later first-round pick, 24, 27, whatever. Gruden jumps up to two, grabs Kyler Murray. The Jets take Josh Allen, and then the Niners get who I actually want them to get, Quinnen Williams.
Wow. That's pretty involved, man.
How is that for a dream draft scenario?
That's probably more action than my brain can handle, man. That's well done. You put a lot of thought into that, Steven.
I did. You know, I was.
Where does Kyler Murray end up in all this, though?
What's that?
Where does Kyler Murray end up in all this?
He goes to the Raiders at number two.
So Kyler Murray, you're a Niner fan, not a Raider fan. I can guess that, correct?
The Raiders are my AFC team, but I'm more Niners.
So you don't give a damn who the Raiders get. Let's be honest.
Not really, but I think Gruden is in love with Kyler, and I could definitely see him trying to get Murray.
All right. Hey, that's as solid of a call on the draft as we've had. It's very involved, Steven, and I've come to expect that from you. But if you want to appeal to Mr. Nahigian, I think your chances of sending him an email are better than hoping that he's listening at 6:25 on a Saturday.
No, I completely agree. And noted, and I'll do that as soon as I get off the call.
Good luck to you on that, Steven. All right, that's Steven in Vallejo. Real quick, before we get to Connor Letourneau, Rich in Fremont, Niners draft. What you got, Rich?
You know, I tell you something, I was actually going to discuss the draft, but then you went to another direction talking about why you were on the fence about DeMarcus coming back.
Uh-huh.
I want to pull you on the other side of the fence, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because the reason why you want DeMarcus to come back, and even though he's got the injuries, is because of Bogut. You look at Bogut, Bogut was the same situation. He was over, he left Golden State on injury. He went to Cleveland, he got injured. I think he was a Laker for about maybe half a season or something like that. He disappears. He goes to Australia. Nobody knows what's going on with him. Come to find out, the guy's playing in the NABL, and he got, like, I guess it was MVP kind of thing?
MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, Defensive Player of the Year. He comes back, and this is the other thing that I pointed out. And I hope with KD was taking notes. He comes back to the NBA, they ask him to come back, and he says, well, you know what? If I come back, I'm only going to go to Golden State. And I'm just like, okay, what does that say? It says that this guy knows. He gets it. If I come back, where am I going? I'm going to the best situation I can go to. And where is that? In Golden State. So if I'm KD, I'm taking notes. I'm saying there's a veteran guy who knows the NBA, been around for a long time, been injured. And what does he do? He goes back to the best situation he can go into in Golden State. And that's the reason why I'm pulling you off the fence. You want DeMarcus to come back even with his injury.
All right, Rich. You've done a very good job of trying to pull me off. I'm going to need a little bit more than that, though, Rich.
Veteran guy. What? He knows you.
What? Do you have two people on the line right now? I feel like somebody's listening. Is your mom on the other line?
No. I don't have anybody else on the line. It's just me. But I'm still saying, at the end of the day, you want DeMarcus back. You want to resign him. Because this is the thing. He's going to go in for a deal that we can afford. He's a big guy. He's a big body. He's going to bring a lot of presence. He plays well. And if he comes back, he's going to come back even harder than he did this time because he knows he's got something to prove. I definitely bring back DeMarcus, you resign him.
All right, Rich, I will take that into consideration. And who knows, by 9 o'clock, I may be all about bringing back Boogie. Right now, I'm all about bringing in Connor Letourneau. He covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. He joins us now. He always joins. Every weekend, this guy gives us his time. Connor, thank you so much. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, we got an hour and 20 minutes into the show before we referenced the blown 31-point lead, which I take as a sign of progress. I take as a sign that Warriors fans really aren't all worried about that one game because we know what we've got. And when the Warriors are absolutely focused, who knows what it takes to get them focused. That may have been it, but they sure looked focused last game.
They did. They did. I think I had a feeling that was going to happen. As you guys know, this is a team that sometimes needs a reminder of the fact that they're beatable, and they completely laid an egg in the second half of game two. I think enduring the biggest postseason collapse in NBA history will make anyone reevaluate things. I think that's exactly what they did. You obviously saw KD come out and be aggressive from the start, 38 points in 30 minutes after what was maybe the worst game of his season in game two, you know, 8 shots, 9 turnovers. So it feels like they're on the right track, and I feel like they're feeling pretty confident right now.
The voice you hear is that of Connor Letourneau. He covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. You can follow him on Twitter at @con_cron. Let's stay with KD. Pretty much any time you talk about the Warriors these days, it almost has to start with Kevin Durant. What did you make of his performance in Game 2 and his comments between Game 2 and Game 3 after Steve Kerr said, we need him to shoot more, we need him to take 20, 30 shots, and then KD said, that's not who I am. When in fact, that is who KD is. He's typically averaged about 20 shots a game throughout his career. Was he trying to make a point with that somewhat passive performance in Game 2? And if so, what was the point he was trying to make?
To be honest, I wasn't surprised by any of that because that's kind of on brand with Kevin Durant. He tends to be very obstinate anytime anyone questions something he does. He's not the type of guy that's going to say after a bad game, hey, had a bad game. Sometimes you just have bad games. He's the type of person who will find a reason to dispute your reasoning.
Yeah, he's a contrarian at every turn.
Identifying it as a bad game. Yeah, no, he's the definition of a contrarian. And he's done that, I want to say, a half dozen times where he's, I don't necessarily want to say thrown Steve Kerr under the bus, but definitely publicly disagreed with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that being said, you know, he goes on this long soliloquy about why he doesn't feel like he needs to be more aggressive necessarily. And then the next day he comes out and he goes for 38 in 30 minutes and is very aggressive.
Ultra aggressive.
After the game, he was asked why, you know, what changed. And he said it was just Kerr calling more plays for him.
Kerr, which is another way of throwing Kerr under the bus, right?
Right, because Kerr claims it was more of a mentality switch. He did tinker with the sets a little bit to get Durant in his spots, but more than anything, he said it was Durant changing his approach. And once again, you know, in post-game after a really good game, he was defiant at times.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been Kevin Durant this season.
Does it get old for you, Connor? Let's take how it affects the Warriors out of it completely. And I know that maybe only a few people care exactly how does this affect Connor Letourneau. Here's the opportunity. I would think that it's got to be exhausting. I mean, when he first spoke and went contrarian guy again after game three, don't you at some point like roll your eyes? Okay, here we go again.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there's that human element where it does get to a certain point where you're a little tired of having to feel like you're walking on eggshells every time you interview Durant. I mean, there have been times where myself or another reporter has asked a relatively innocuous question, and he'll find a reason to snap back at you or, you know, criticize the question or what have you.
Right.
And there's definitely times where just as a human being, you're like, man, bro, can you please just
a modicum of respect, please.
Like, help me do my job here, you know. But, you know, it comes to the territory. I don't want to complain too much
right.
Because I get paid to fly around the country and watch basketball for a living. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty good perspective, and I appreciate that. Again, we're talking with Connor Letourneau. He covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at @con_cron, and he is a great follow. I suggest that you do that. I was talking a little bit earlier about my MVP for this series thus far is Kevon Looney. What do you think of that?
That's fair.
And in part, it's after reading your piece today, Connor.
Losing DeMarcus, and Kevon has just been absolutely sensational. I wrote about him yesterday. He's shooting over 80% from the field. The plus-minus with him on the court has been absolutely unreal. Obviously, in game one, he was a plus 30 in 17 minutes, which is really hard to do. He's been doing all the little things. He's been getting into his spots offensively. He's been hitting a mid-range, which I think a lot of people weren't aware he had in his game. And then defensively, he's been switching off ball screens. He's been picking up Lou Williams. He's been doing his part on Montrezl Harrell. He's really been the Warriors' only defensive option that's been somewhat successful against Harrell. So he's been doing it all, and I think the Warriors feel really good about the fact that he's going to play big minutes for the rest of the playoffs. And the truth is, this is actually a better matchup anyway for him than it was for Cousins. And I think, assuming they play the Rockets in the next round, it's a better matchup for him than it would be for Cousins as well. So, you know, obviously really unfortunate with what happened with Cousins, but the Warriors feel good about Looney.
Does this in any way improve the Warriors' chances of getting DeMarcus back next year, or do you think they even want him back next year?
It definitely ups the odds of him coming back significantly, just because what was once not even really financially feasible is suddenly very financially feasible. You know, the Warriors could offer him a 20% raise, which would put him around $6.4 million. And I can't imagine he's going to get offers much better than that from other teams. So if he wants to come back to Golden State, he could potentially have that option. The big question, as you kind of touched upon, is do the Warriors even want him back? You know, talking to some people around the organization, I'm not 100% sure about that. I think they feel okay about how this season went with Cousins, but the reality is anyone who's followed the season closely knows that he wasn't an ideal fit. You know, the Warriors had to make a lot of adjustments,
sure,
to get him involved in the offense, to look for his shot, and that ended up taking away a lot of things from what Kevin Durant does, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. But one thing to consider going forward is that the Warriors just need bodies at that center position. Their only center under contract right now for next season is Damian Jones. And you're looking at potentially losing Kevin Durant. I think there's a chance they could end up trading Draymond. And so if Cousins does come back, his role is completely different. He's suddenly the third option. So, you know, a very affordable four-time All-Star is your third option. I think that's something they would have to look really hard at.
Connell Letourneau covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he just, almost in passing, Connor, you seem to throw out that, well, they might trade Draymond Green. That certainly perked up my ears, and I'm sure plenty of Warriors fans listening, the same could be said of them. Expand on that for me a little bit.
Yeah, I actually did a whole story today. I just posted about an hour ago that looks at that pretty in-depth, and basically it gets the crux of it is that this is a really important playoffs for Draymond because he's going to enter contract negotiations this summer. He becomes a free agent in the summer of 2020. But ideally, the Warriors would like to have an agreement in place entering next season. And Draymond Green believes he's a max-level player. I don't believe the Warriors think he's a max-level player, especially considering that when he signs that deal, he'll be 30 years old. And so you're looking at paying a guy – $40-plus million at the age of 35, potentially, if you give him a five-year max. I don't think the Warriors want to do that, you know, given his playing style, given the fact that his body is already starting to fall apart a little bit. So if you're the Warriors, you're kind of looking ahead and you're saying, you know what, if we don't have a contract in place, do we want to go into next season with a disgruntled Draymond, especially considering that he just hired Rich Paul as his agent, who we all know is very aggressive in these situations,
mm-hmm.
pretty much single-handedly derailed the Pelicans' season this past season. Do the Warriors really want to deal with that after everything they went through this season with Durant and his pending free agency? I don't think they do. So if they feel like they can't reach a deal with Draymond, I think they would look into trade opportunities. And, you know, the reality is that they're going to be capped out even if they lose KD, so they might want to trade Draymond and get a couple pieces back to fill some holes. So I think that's something that I'm a little surprised people haven't talked about it more because I think it's a really real possibility. But you know, I'm looking at the writing on the wall here.
All right. So Connor, you said you just posted that about an hour or so ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So go to sfgate.com and check out Connor Letourneau's piece on the Warriors possibly trading Draymond Green. That's fascinating. Now, let's stay with Draymond because I heard it was on a national radio program, I think, and there was talk about Draymond had fallen out of basketball shape somehow during the season. And at the All-Star break, Bob Myers went to him and said, hey, I think maybe it would serve you well to drop a few pounds here during the break or going forward. Have you heard any of that? Because supposedly he has dropped a little bit of weight, and that's why we're seeing a little bit better Draymond since the All-Star break.
Yeah, we talked to Draymond about that today. That's honestly not something that's terribly out of the norm for Draymond. He often will kind of, you know, lose a few pounds before the playoffs. He kind of sees the light at the end of the tunnel. He sees playoff time, and he makes sure he's mentally and physically where he needs to be for the most important time of the season. So the thing about Draymond is he gains and loses weight more than any player on this team. His weight has fluctuated pretty dramatically his entire career going back to high school. And he said today, you know, yeah, I lost 23 pounds, but for me, that's not really a big deal.
Like, wait, 23 from when?
I'm pretty set on losing weight. I can lose 20 pounds like it's nothing. So he did it in 6 weeks, and he's looking pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, he's looking great. Is that, do you think him, you know, you hear it all the time, you know, look good, feel good, play good. Is that why we're seeing an uptick in his shooting percentages?
Yeah, you know, his 3-point shooting percentage is actually way down. he was phenomenal after the All-Star break.
Yeah, coming out of the break, he was brilliant, but it has trailed off.
Yeah, he was like 37% from three after the All-Star break, and I think in this series so far, he's around 27 or something like that. So, but he has, you know, his mid-range, and he's hit some floaters. He's doing what he needs to do offensively. He hasn't really been knocking down the three like he wants to, but I think the Warriors overall are pretty happy with what he's brought to the table. If he can just limit his turnovers, which have been an issue at times, I think he'll be the quote-unquote playoff Draymond. You know, this is a guy who is known for coming up big in playoff games, has had some absolutely remarkable series, especially in the finals. So I expect him to be really key. And keep in mind, you know, this is a guy who's playing for a championship, but like we just talked about, he's also playing for a contract. So he's got tons of motivation.
No doubt about it. Connor, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, this series is not going beyond five games, correct?
I don't think so. I would be absolutely shocked if it went beyond five games. It felt like a turning point after game two. You know, the Clippers had their moment. They can enter the offseason saying, hey, we made history. We made things a little bit more difficult on the Warriors. But no, they're just way too big of a talent divide between these teams. I don't see it going beyond five.
All right, Connor. Hey, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we'll be talking to you multiple times between now and the playoff. The parade around Lake Mirror. Thanks again for your time.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that's Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle. You can follow him on Twitter at @con_cron. There's a lot to unpack from that conversation, and one of the biggies is trading Draymond Green. I'm going to have to go to sfgate.com and check that out so we can discuss when we come back. I'm Mike Lurban, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Son, you're looking at your phone. Look at the lines. Have you picked up on it yet? Musical stylings by our good friend Jeff on the ones and twos. There is a theme today. You'll figure it out as we go. Did you happen to catch the Golden State Warriors featured on 60 Minutes? If you did, you probably wondered, or maybe you didn't because you're so used to it. But you might have wondered, what's up with KD? Why is he so disengaged here? Well, I just found out today. I wondered the same thing. But I found out today that was taped right around the time when KD was not speaking with the media. Right after the Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavs to free up, we're told, ostensibly to free up salary cap space to sign KD. KD took that as, well, I'm not going to talk to the media for a while. And then this 60 Minutes thing came at roughly the same time. And now it makes all the sense in the world. Are you tired of all the KD drama? I would imagine some of you are. But I would imagine more of you are Warriors fans who like the Warriors winning world championships. And so you're thinking, if this is what I have to put up with, then that's fine to win another title. That's where I am. KD aggravates me, but I also love having him on my team. I want him to stay a Warrior forever. I am never going to be that guy who says it's too much of a headache. KD's too much. Enough. We'll be fine without him. To paraphrase Draymond, we've won without him. We'll win without him again. I don't know. It's not just like the ship deck, Sharon. It's not. Lonnie's in there shaking his head at me. Get used to it, Lonnie. It's never going to go away. As long as we're running that ad, I'm going to love that ad. I'm going to ape that ad. It's going to be fun. Jeff just shakes his head all the time. Jeff is kind of like that guy who's above it all, or at least likes to think he's above it all. He does put off that vibe. I walk in, I see Jeff. I'm like, oh, geez, he's above it all. It's good times here, 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 if you would like to join the fun. We had two people that I'm sure had brilliant Warriors takes, but they ran out of patience, and so they dropped off. I hope that means they're just waiting for Connell Letourneau to be done dispensing his pearls of wisdom so that our callers can dispense theirs. This is now when you call and you get your chance to be my co-host, because we're not going to have another guest for, I think, what do you got, half an hour at least? Yeah, I think we've been putting our guests in at about the 20-minute mark after the top of each hour. Is there such thing as a top and a bottom of each hour? Shouldn't the bottom of each hour be like 6:59? That's the very bottom of the hour, right? But no, most people consider 6:30 to be the bottom of the hour, which means they're just looking at a clock face. So 6 o'clock is the top, 6:30 is the bottom. When you got 4 hours solo, you get to think about things like this, and you get to express things like this. You also get to bang into the microphone and run the risk of unplugging the entire show. They had me doing the pregame show, which I loved, by the way, several weeks ago. And I was so looking forward to it. And you're on the air at 5 in the morning, right? So there's a serious adjustment that has to be made. But I was pumped up about it. I think the first night, I didn't go to sleep. I was worried about sleeping through the alarm. Everybody is when that kind of situation happens. So I had made it into the studio. I had gotten fully prepared for my hour of radio. And the first thing I did in all my excitement is I banged the microphone and somehow disconnected it. And so you couldn't hear me at the top of the hour. So everything I had worked for so painstakingly just fell apart. Next thing you know, we had World Wide West running in here, pushing me to the other microphones. Do it over there. Do it over. We'll do it live. Wes fixed everything, ran back in to play the music, whatever it hit. It was a nightmare. But we got it back on track. And I love the pregame show. So if Matt Nahigian is listening right now, which Stephen from Vallejo hopes he is, I would like to go ahead and throw my hat in the ring. I'd like to do the pregame show forever. I like that. That was a good hour of radio. I enjoyed that thoroughly. 888-957-9570. A couple of questions now. The first question I had for Warriors fans was, now that we've seen what it took to get Boogie in the mix, we saw what it was like to have Boogie in the mix, not just when we first brought him in, but after he got acclimated, so to speak. And I think we all liked it. We all liked having Boogie around. But then Boogie got hurt again. And now, when you were thinking, okay, it's going to be a one-year thing and he's gone, there's nowhere. If he does what he's been doing and continues to get better, then there's no way in hell he'll be back, because he's going to sign a big money deal somewhere else. Well, that's now not going to happen, because he just suffered a torn quad. Whether or not he comes back this playoffs, I don't think he's going to, because I think he's the type of guy that you really need to pace him. He's going to want to rush back. It doesn't matter what you do. If you rush back and say you come back for the finals, do you really think you're going to be able to make that big of an impression in however many games there are in that finals that will convince a team that was not willing to give you a big money long-term deal to say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do that? It's not going to happen. So now, bringing DeMarcus Cousins back becomes, at the very least, a possibility again. The question is, do the Warriors want Boogie back? They're never going to come out and say, no, we're done. That's it. But we've had a caller, and we've also had Connor Letourneau, who covers the Warriors. I think that's a real question. And I don't know what the answer is. For me, do I want DeMarcus Cousins back on the Warriors? It's hard to say no to that, but I'm going to say no to that. Give me a long-term deal for Kevon Looney. He's got to be back. Love that guy. And look, you've got Damian Jones signed for next year. And while there's a whole lot that we still don't know about Damian Jones. A ton. And he's not that big-bodied guy that when you run into a team with a big-bodied center, he'll be able to mitigate that. He's not exactly that guy. So it'd be nice in an ideal situation for the Warriors is to have a big-bodied dude as a five and a Kevon dude at the five. The guy who can switch out on everything and hold his own against guards and be kind of the speed five, and then you have the slow-it-down five. That would be the ideal. But not every team gets their ideal. I think the closest next year's team would have to the ideal would be if DeMarcus was back. I just don't know if it's worth it. What do you guys think? 888-957-9570. If you're looking at the DeMarcus Cousins experiment, Warriors fans, do you look at it as a success, a failure, or an incomplete? I look at it as a success. I mean, of course, we didn't want DeMarcus to get injured, certainly not when he got injured. But I think, with the exception of the injury, everything kind of went as planned, didn't it? I mean, you took a little bit of a risk, and the risk paid off for a while, and then the risk, you saw the downside risk, right? You saw the downside of it. And the downside was him getting hurt again. Injured players get injured. That's what happens. So if you're willing to accept that you might just get another quarter or a half season of Boogie, is that enough to have that ideal mix at the five? Now, first things first, let's make sure that you get Kevon Looney signed long term. Or am I overvaluing Kevon Looney? I don't think so. I think Kevon Looney's going to keep getting better and better. This guy's 23 years old, people. He is the most unsung hero on this team. And I've mentioned this a number of times, and I mentioned it when we had Jessica Kleinschmidt on the program a little bit earlier. She was our first guest. Now, she's a baseball analyst at NBC Sports Bay Area, and she is exactly the type of journalist that I've always tried to be. Glass half full, and let's focus on the person. Let's focus, if we can, on the human interest side of things. That's what's interesting to me about sports. You can get a game story, you can get stats, you can get all that stuff from a million different places. But what you can't get everywhere is the reporter, the columnist, the journalist who has a good reputation in the locker room, has built up enough trust to where they will be able to give you a piece of the player, a piece of the person behind the player. If that journalist doesn't have the trust of the athlete, you're never going to get that because the athlete's not going to let their guard down. But what I always tried to do, and anytime I had an intern, I would tell them, look, here's your rule with me. When you talk to players, you are allowed to have a notebook or a recorder out no more than 50% of the time. I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm not going to give you, I was not that guy with my interns that would want them to report back to me on how they spent every second of their time at the ballpark. Every second of their internship, I need to know what you're doing and who you're talking to. In fact, I went kind of the opposite. I told them, here's kind of what I expect from my interns. And so you take that, however you interpret it, and give me what you think I'm looking for. And if that's not it, then we'll talk about it and we'll make sure we get on the same page. More often than not, the interns knew exactly what I was looking for. And there, nothing warmed my heart more than to look across the clubhouse when I was covering the A's and I had an intern and I would see one of my interns with their hands in their pockets, talking to a Billy Koch, a Keith Folk, a Mark Ellis, just talking to them, human being to human being. Because you know what that does? That ensures that when that intern walks up to the locker of the aforementioned players, when the locker room is open to media availability at the start of the day, and they walk to, let's say they walk to Mark Ellis's locker, and Mark Ellis sees the intern coming. Mark Ellis isn't looking at that intern immediately thinking, oh, geez, what do they want for me now? What does he want for me today? What does she want for me today? It's always going to be a take thing. That's what the athlete's going to get. If you spend half of your time just talking to the athlete, not taking notes, not reporting, then when they see you coming, it's just, oh, well, here comes Phil or Jane or Pete or whoever. They're going to come have a conversation with me. And then maybe during that conversation, you say, hey, do you mind if we go on the record now? And the athlete is like, oh, yeah. And they appreciate you asking, can we go on the record now? You know, you never have to say to the athlete, and this is a good thing, you never have to say, wait, hold on. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, NHD1, KGMZ San Francisco, or radio.com sports station. You never have to say that to an athlete in a clubhouse. Because if you did, first off, they'd be gone before you could even get that out of your mouth, and you would have lost the opportunity to talk to them. I have to say that once an hour, or we're not legal. But now, in case you guys ever get an internship, there's people right now, Steven in Vallejo. I know that he has decided to give up one career and chase this career, the career that I have, that everybody you hear on 95.7 The Game has. He's chasing that dream, and I've got crazy respect for him. It's a gamble. It's actually, I'm not even going to say it's not one that I would take. I don't know that I could afford to take it at that age, so I'm guessing maybe Steven's got some money. But Steven, in case you ever make it that far, when you're in the clubhouse, don't talk to them with a recorder out or a notebook out every single time. If you get them to trust you, you're going to get better stuff. Draymond Green is the type of guy, I guarantee, if a reporter walks up to their locker, Draymond, if he recognizes them at all, is immediately going to do a number of calculations. And it's going to be, what has this guy asked of me before? What have I seen that he's written? Was it accurate? Was it fair? How should I treat him now? You'd be surprised at how many players have that sort of Rolodex, so to speak, in their brain. Draymond is one of the smartest guys I've ever dealt with on any level in sports. I have to couch it with that. I've dealt with some incredibly smart people elsewhere. Draymond, in my sports career, and I haven't dealt with Draymond a lot, but he is so perceptive about every little thing. He's constantly evaluating the scene around him. He's trying to gauge, is this person for real? Is this person kissing my ass so that he can curry favor and get something out of me that maybe he wouldn't otherwise? You can't trick Draymond Green. There's some athletes you can trick. There's some athletes that will go there willingly. Johnny Damon was one of my favorite guys to cover when I was on Deadline. When he was with the A's and I was on Deadline and it was going to be pushed right up against the deadline, I never sweat it because Johnny Damon was one of the guys in that room. And why? Because I could get Johnny Damon to say exactly what.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.